Earlier, Brother Larry was leading a song and trembling, unable to continue at times, and tears coming out of his eyes, and I thought, the love is leaking out of this brother's face because he sees the love of you for him, for the Lord primarily, but you're the Lord's bride.
Right.
We are, if this book is telling the truth, you are one in Him. Amen. We are one in Him. And Brother Hewlin, the truth is, you are saved.
Amen.
He's written a few, the truth is, hasn't he?
Amen.
I think the truth is you're saved.
Amen.
I'd like to talk a little bit about cause and effect for a little bit this afternoon.
Yes.
And I would continue in the same vein where our dear brother so ably preached on belief. Might look at the cause of a couple of other things, but primarily the thing that separates this is nothing new to all of you who claim the name of Primitive Baptist. But there are some here perhaps who are not. And I want you to understand that the principal difference between the Primitive Baptists and most other orders is what we view, what many view as the cause of salvation, we view as the effect.
Amen.
And I would like to prove that to you. Now, first of all, I would like to say that all of our beliefs and remarks are based on what the Scripture says. If the preacher doesn't say what the Scripture says, we'll get a new preacher.
Amen.
Amen. Including this afternoon. Including this second portion of the afternoon service.
Amen.
Amen. You better. Faithful brethren will.
Yes, sir.
We believe the Scriptures. That's the final authority.
Amen.
What I think doesn't really matter. What the Scriptures say really does matter.
Amen.
Yes, sir. It does matter. Yes, sir.
Yes. So when the Scripture says, Jacob have I loved and Esau have I hated, you need to understand that if you're not worshiping a God who loves and hates, you're not worshiping the God
Amen.
Of the Bible.
Amen.
Now, why did he love Jacob and hate Esau? Man, I don't know the answer to that one. I got a better question for you. Why did he love me or Brother Mike?
Yeah.
Why did he call mean old boys like us to preach? And what is the exceeding greatness of his power?
Yes.
To us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead.
Yes, sir.
Do you realize that it takes the same power, the same dunamis, as Brother Alan has so ably told us, it takes the same power for you to believe that it took to raise Christ from the dead?
Absolutely.
Or Lazarus. But the Scriptures here says Christ. It took the same power. Now, in just a few verses after what I read, it's going to say, you hath he quickened who were dead. Now, if faith is something that we've got to get before we can be saved, this is going to be an empty heaven because dead men can't reach up and get faith.
Amen.
You just can't get it. And I'd like to go back to the one of the few verses that Brother Alan left out in John chapter 1. We'll go to the first chapter. And I want to look at a sentence that is split into two verses, 12 and the 13th.
Yeah, that's good.
And so often, and you need to understand, I was raised in another order. And the names of the guilty will be withheld. But I was raised in another order, and they would preach this verse, but they wouldn't preach the next one. And there's not a period at the end of this verse.
Amen.
But as many as received him, to them gave he power. There's that power again.
Yes,
we're talking about cause.
Amen, brother.
Okay, cause and effect. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. So those that believe on his name have been given power to receive him. No, that's not what it said. I said it backwards on purpose. As many as received him, okay, past tense, to them gave he power. Well, when did he give them the power? Before they received it or afterward? Huh? I just want you to think for a little bit before we get to the 13th verse. I want you to engage, and especially if this is not new, I mean, if this is new to you, I especially want you to sincerely, I would say right now, let's pray. I don't mean out loud, any of you, but just pray that God would give you understanding. You know, the Apostle Paul wrote to a young preacher named Timothy and said, consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things. I could preach the best sermon I've ever preached. It wouldn't be much compared to what we heard this morning or whatever, but still, it wouldn't do any good if God doesn't give you understanding. I'm telling you, if God gave everybody understanding, and everybody, we'd have to add on. You'd have to build a bigger building here, and we'd have to build a bigger one at Little Flock, and everywhere else. If God gave everybody, why did he give me understanding? I don't know. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. I just want to say here, that is in a manifest sense.
Yes, it is.
You understand? I've got a boy named Jeremiah Ezekiel, and I've got another boy, and these boys are in their 30s now. They're probably more accurately described as young men, but Jeremy and Josh have the power to manifest themselves as men, as the sons of Steve Woods. They have the power to do that, but they had to have an existence first. And they had to be sons before they could manifest themselves as sons.
Yeah.
But he says, these sons of God, who he gave power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born, past tense, which were born.
Amen.
They were born before they received him.
Yes, sir.
They were born. And what kind of birth are we talking about? Natural birth?
No.
No. Not at all, dear friends. You have to have natural birth, or you have to have natural life anyway, but this birth is talking about not of blood. It's not a natural birth. It's not about your natural lineage. It's not about anything related to blood. It's not a physical birth. Nor of the will of the flesh, which were born, nor of the will of man. They were not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man. It had nothing to do with your choice.
Amen.
Which were born, just like your natural birth, had nothing to do with your choice. When this finally hit me, when the light came on, when I was with that cute little girl that y'all knew as Susan McKay before she lowered her standards and consented to be my wife. I was sitting there, and Brother Cal Kennedy, bless his heart, he was preaching, and he said, if it had been my choice, I'd have been born to one of them Kennedys up in Massachusetts. You know, this old country boy connected with that old country boy. I knew what he was talking about. He didn't want to be a politician. They got money. And Brother Cal, then he always followed it up with, but I'm glad it wasn't my choice.
Yeah.
We're, by nature, make wrong choices.
Amen.
Adam made the first wrong choice. And we've been making wrong choices ever since.
Yeah.
And let me tell you about the love of God for just a brief second here. He loved you too much to let you make that choice.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
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 Amen. He loved me too much to let me make that choice.
Amen.
But back to cause and effect. The cause is because they're already born. And while we're getting John, let's get John, 1 John 5 and verse 1.
Good.
Now these scriptures seem to me to be so plain that I really start kicking old Brother Steve, myself, how did I not see this growing up? How many times did I read this and not get it? And that's really good for something. You know what that is? It's a cure for pride.
Yeah. Amen.
It's a cure for pride. Whosoever believeth. Now, you've been well schooled this afternoon, so I'm not going to belabor that point. But whosoever has believed and is believing and will believe that Jesus is the Christ is born of God.
Amen.
Now, if our friends in the religious world are right, this verse should have said this. Whosoever will believe that Jesus is the Christ will be born of God. That's what it ought to say. If our friends are right, that's what it ought to say. But the fact of the matter is, do you know that God does things the right way all the time? And do you know that the right way doesn't change?
Amen.
God spoke into the darkness and said, let there be light. Paul says that we were sometimes the darkness. He didn't say we were in the darkness, although we were, but he said we were the darkness. And he spoke life into us, and he brought light and immortality into our souls. When he did that, he shed a light on it, and he made manifest. And he does it the same way. Dear friends, we must hold dearly the truth of a six-day creation.
Amen.
Because it's the very basis of what we believe.
Amen.
Oh, and by the way, it's the Word of God. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone that loveth him that begat loveth him also that is begotten of him.
Amen.
You know, and some of you may be wondering. Some of you may be wondering, well, now, am I one of them? Am I one of them? He just got through telling us in the third chapter, we know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. We know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. Friends, he's not saying we've gotten up out of the graveyard, exited the tomb, and walked into a situation where we can breathe in and out with our natural lives. That's not the death he's talking about.
Amen.
He's talking about we were dead in trespasses and in sins. And I know most all of y'all believe this, but knew that, heard that. But there may be some that, like me, that was news. When I first started going to church with Sister Susan, there was only one dead that I knew of. And that made John 5:25 the most mysterious verse in the Bible.
Right.
Because just a couple of verses later, and if you think context is important, it is. But let me tell you something. Context does not always define a scripture. Because context had me all goofed up in that one. Because if you read a couple more verses, he's talking about the general resurrection of the just and the unjust. At the end of time. On the last day. You know what happens after the last day? The last day is eternity. The last day is an eternal day. There ain't nothing happening after the last day. That's from Arkansas. That's why we say Arkansas. There ain't nothing happening after the last day. The last day is the last day.
Amen.
And that ought to help all your studies in eschatology or your eschatological studies or whatever that is. When you're studying the end of time, that ought to help you. If you can get that down pat, that will keep you from making a bunch of mistakes on... What is it? Eschatology. The study of the last days.
Yeah.
We're in the last days.
Amen.
But we're not in the last day.
Yeah.
Okay? We're in the last days. John said it. Jesus said it. As soon as Jesus said it, it was settled. John just was repeating it. You see, we're in the last days, but we're not on the last day yet. The last day's coming.
Amen.
I want to look at Ephesians chapter 2. And we'll talk about good works. We've talked about the cause of belief. And this book is full of them. I could go on and on and on. But when we see an effect, I'm really glad that I didn't get a good example. I'm glad that Brother Cody didn't have a flat tire on the way up here. That would have been the effect. We would have looked for the cause. We would have hoped that when we got a tire shop to fix the tire, that they would look to pull the old nail out and patch the hole before, and not just air it up, right? You don't just air it up. You sisters, think about how silly it would be if you came in and you noticed that the sink was running over and you just started mopping. And you just mopping and 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 mopping. You know what you should have done? You should have looked to see what the cause was. You turn the water off, okay? And then it won't take near as much mopping, right? Well, none of y'all would have done that, would you? No, that would have been the first thing you would have done, was go in and turn the water off, because that's the cause and the effect. Well, let me tell you something. The Bible teaches that believing is an effect, not a cause. It's an effect of eternal life, not a cause of eternal life. Okay? Now that's the bottom line. Now we're going to look at good works for just a second, because I believe in good works. I'm not real good at it, but I'm sure that that's something we're supposed to be busy doing. I don't believe in the gospel of do nothing.
Amen.
But we're not saved unto nothing. Okay? And the Bible speaks about good works, and we need to speak about good works. And let me say this. All Scripture. I don't want to get this wrong. I'm just going to read this to you. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Do you know what good works that we're supposed to be doing that are left out of the Bible? Trick question. There's not any good works left out. I'll tell you something, dear friends. If we'll just start there where he says in James, pure religion and undefiled before God is this, that we visit the widows and the orphan in their afflictions, and what? Keep your what? Keep yourself unspotted from the world. Is that a full-time job for you, Brother Ed?
Yes, sir. Amen.
That's a full-time job for this old boy. And I tell you, when you get done with that one, I'll give you some more. But all the things that we're supposed to be doing individually, all the things that we're supposed to be doing as a church, are listed in here. They're written in here. We don't have to go hunting stuff to do.
Amen.
Okay? If we'll get busy doing what God says to do, we won't even have time for the TV. Uh-oh. He's done with many of them now, hasn't he? Okay. Ephesians chapter 2. For by grace are you saved through faith. That, not of yourselves, lest any should boast. It is a gift of God.
Not of
works. By grace you're saved. If it's grace, it's not works. If it's works, it's not grace. But works is coming up.
Amen.
For we are His workmanship.
Yes, sir.
Created. Now let me ask you something. Back at the dawn of time, before He made the birds and the fishes out of the sea, what part of creation was you helping Him with? Okay, let's say you didn't get there until the fifth day. What part of creating the fishes and the birds did you help Him with? What about on the sixth day when He was making man? Did you help Him out with that? Did you help Him make some cattle or some sheep? You haven't been helping Him in creation then? You think you could help Him in creation now? There would be two creators if you could be a creator. I know of one creator, a faithful creator. Peter tells us He's a faithful creator. He's trying to convince us He has the power to help us.
Amen.
But in Ephesians 2 He says, "For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained." You know, He ordained you to eternal life. Everyone that was ordained to eternal life believes.
Yeah, isn't that great?
I believe that.
Amen.
I believe it with all my heart. And I don't believe they believe everything all the time that they're supposed to. It doesn't say that. Let me tell you, there's never been anybody that's been born of the Spirit that didn't believe in the One who created them in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
There was a bunch of them that didn't know His name. on this continent before the gospel came over here. There was a lot of them that were born of the Spirit. And I promise you, they knew their Creator. Not only their Creator naturally, but their Creator spiritually. They knew Him. They might have called Him Great Father or something, Great Spirit.
Yeah.
I used to know a half a dozen Indian names for that, but that's not really important. The names that we need to remember are Elohim and Jehovah and God, and especially this one, the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
He is the Amen. And you know that word is translated from the same word that's verily, verily.
Amen.
Verily, verily. He is the verily, verily.
Yes.
He is the Amen. Mm-hmm. That's one of His names.
Yeah.
He's the truly, truly. He's the one true light. He's truth.
Amen.
He's full of grace and truth.
Amen.
He's the embodiment of grace and truth.
Amen.
And that's what we need to remember. We need to be busy talking about Him. We need to be telling our friends about Him. We need to be telling each other about Him. We need to be encouraging one another about Him. We don't need to get bogged down trying to teach a discourse. How about Andrew? Come and see. Peter, come and see. That'll do. Come and see. You know what I think people are longing for today? They're longing for a family worship center. You know what families are tired of nowadays? They're tired of mom taking Jimmy to the baseball game while another one takes another one to a soccer game or a gymnastics class. And I'm not condemning any of that. I'm saying families are tired of getting split up.
Yeah.
And they don't want to go to church on Sunday morning and get split up. And you know, our children need to learn. You know, children learn so much in the preaching service and in the song service. Do you know why all the songs that we sing agree with our doctrine? And most of them are really old songs. Because we're the old church.
Amen.
And 200 years ago, almost everybody that named the name of Christ believed just almost exactly like we do, with very few exceptions. In the year 1776, we declared our independence from old tyrant named King George, and 75% of our population were predestinarian in their religious beliefs. You think you're a stranger and a pilgrim today in America because you believe in predestination and election. I'm going to tell you something. That's a new thing. That's a new thing. 200 years ago, everybody was, just about. The other 25% probably weren't even religious. Or maybe they were Jewish or something else. But I'm going to tell you, dear friends, what we have is the truth. And what I want to tell you about this doctrine, and I believe it's right, and I'm going to get one more verse and then I'll promise to quit. I'm going to get one more verse. But I want you to understand, this is a God-honoring doctrine. Okay? This doctrine gives God all the glory for our eternal salvation, and it puts all the responsibility on us for our timely salvation.
Amen.
It puts all the responsibility on us for our works. I want to go real bad too. For it is God that worketh in you to will and to do of His good pleasure. But I'm not going to go there. I told you I was just going to go to one more. So we're going to go to 1 John 3. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him. And I'm going to say something about that remaineth. It's a whole lot like that believeth. It's remained in there, it's remaining in there, and it's going to keep on remaining in there. Okay? It'll never quit remaining there. And that's another reason that I love the King James translation. No other translation has the ETH.
Amen.
You need to learn how to love the ETH.
Amen.
Because let me tell you something. You can't correctly translate Greek into English without it. That's why the translators developed that suffix. That suffix was unknown to mankind until the King James translators came along.
Amen.
Every other translation fails in its fullness because of that. But now here's the rest of the verse. And he cannot sin because he is born of God. The cause, now I understand there's two ways that you can view this verse. And I'm going to tell you both of them because neither one of them is heresy, and I'll tell you what I think it means then. And I don't care if you take issue with that. And I'm not going to be so bold as to say you have a right to be wrong. I'm not. Because let me tell you something. I've taken both positions on this verse. And I wouldn't have appreciated someone telling me I had a right to be wrong. But you can view this as whoever is born of God does not habitually commit sin because they have a nature in them that keeps chastening them and giving them little spankings along the way so that they don't continually commit sin. And that's fine if you want to have that understanding of that verse. But I believe that there's an inner man. I believe that there's a glorified Steve Woods inside of this clay tent that you're looking at right now. I believe there's a glorified, and I believe that based on a text that I'm not going to go to, but it's over in Romans 8 and about the 29th verse if you want to look at it later, or 30th. But I said I wasn't going to go to another verse. But he says, but I believe that there's something inside of me. There's a glorified seed that remains in me, and there's a created inner man that the created in Christ Jesus unto good works is constantly doing good works.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
And I believe that in my flesh dwelleth no good thing. And that's a Bible verse too. If you want to look for it, it'd be easier if you went to Romans 7. But I want you to understand that there is a part of every born again child of God. And by the way, I loved the glorious doctrines that we heard this morning. And the encouragement and the good. You know, one of the things that the Scripture was used for this morning was instruction in righteousness. You see, Brother David gave us some instruction in righteousness that we need to forget about some things. And then Brother Sonny comes along and hammers the point home with some instruction in righteousness that your salvation is accomplished. It's a done deal legally. But there may be some here under the sound of my voice. There may be some here that are not old enough to start first grade yet. There may be some here that aren't born again yet. That will be someday. But you know that legal atonement that was accomplished for them at the cross? It hadn't been applied to them personally yet. It's there waiting for them. It's going to happen to them before they die. It's as certain as that fan is a turning up there right above you, Brother Ronnie. It's just as sure as that fan is turning, just as sure as the lights are turned on in here and not turned off. If Christ died for their sins, He's going to wash them in His own blood. He's going to wash them Himself in His own blood. And He's going to wash away their sins, and He's going to make them vitally saved that are already legally saved. And I tell you what, it doesn't happen that way for everybody. Oh, Brother Abraham, he got vitally saved before he got legally saved. God saved him on credit. We don't have time to go there. But he did. It was by God's faith. And God's got faith.
Amen.
He didn't have any, he'd give you. Faith is a gift, and you can't get a gift from somebody that ain't got nothing. You got to have it before you can give it.
The author and the finisher of it.
He is the author and the finisher of it.
You have that.
That's not an exact quote, so we're going to let Brother we're going to let him have Hebrews 12 on that. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin.
Amen.
Let me tell you something, dear friends. The cause and the only cause of your inner man being unable to sin is because He is born of God.
Amen.
And it's the same cause of your belief. It's the same cause of your good works. It's the same cause of your desire to worship. But let me give you a better. I can't stand behind that pulpit and say another verse, so I'm going to get out of here. You love Him because He first loved you.
Yes, sir.
You find somebody that loves God, and I can guarantee you what the cause of that is.
Yes, sir.
The cause is that He loved them first.
Right.
You children, have you ever memorized a Bible verse? If you haven't, here's the one you need to start with. We love Him because He first loved us.
Amen.
We love Him because He first loved us. If you love Him, you can show it to Him. You know, He gave you some instructions. If you love me, keep my commandments. Thank you for your good teaching.
Amen. Amen.